Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekly discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Well, welcome to Business Resolutions. And as I said last week, we never got to the arbitration and mediation area. And I was going to invite Reynaldo Royo back, and I have him back. So, Reynaldo, hey, good day. Welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon and good day. Thank you for inviting me, yes.
Mm-hmm. I hope you listeners enjoyed as much as I did. I was listening to the program on the way to a golf in Dorado, and I had heard the story of him having to handle the call and getting the call out through the payphone and in his pajamas in this fancy hotel. And I was laughing. I still laugh at the thought of that
scene. Well, it was a very stressful situation.
I know, but of course, looking back, it's funny. But at that time, yes. it was not funny at all.
Well, I laughed myself a lot. Yeah.
Well, Reynaldo, as you were listening to the listeners who listened last week, change careers, and I'd like to go into that hopefully if you have some time, the change in career and how you, instead of retiring, take on something else. But he was in the business world. Just to summarize, he was in the business world, initially as an employee, and then at the end was as an owner of a radio station. And then sold that radio station and moved on, although it was a slow transition because you started doing some of the arbitrations with the stock exchange and the brokerage firms and all. He started doing it little by little, but he started transitioning to a new career as an arbitrator and as a consultant, sort of like what I have done. And I thought what we would go into today is the role of arbitrator and compare it to mediation, which is what I like to do more than arbitration, compare them, the advantages and disadvantages of these two alternatives that are available to business people and professionals in terms of being able to resolve their conflicts instead of going to the judicial courts. Reynaldo, let me just put down some of the things that I think in both cases apply, both arbitration and mediation, and let's just get into a dialogue on that. The first advantage that I see with both mediation and arbitration, these alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, is that they're private. Both the initiation of the process, the whole process, as well as the results of those process, are confidential.
It's confidential, right. And also you avoid going to a court of law.
Which I guess the second, and that leads you to the second one, which is it usually will be much less expensive.
Right, definitely.
How much in your experience, you guess three arbitrators, you have panels of three in this particular mm-hmm. area that you're an arbitrator. And in your experience, what would be a typical fees for that panel in one of these cases?
Well,
it varies an awful lot, or
it does. It does. Of course, the main cost to the parties is not what they pay the arbitrators. They don't make us rich on arbitration.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's their legal fees going through the process of arbitration. However, I believe going through the process of arbitration is much less expensive than going through a court case. On the other hand, I believe that going to mediation is even much cheaper. Let me tell you, in the stock exchange arbitrators, which is the ones that I do, they provide for mediation as well, with their blessing, with a group of mediators.
Right.
It's funny, only about 15% of the people that we arbitrate for also go into mediation and settle over there.
And they do that at the same time, because I would have thought usually, and this is for the listeners, sometimes you put this in a contract, and if you want to do it the full nine yards, is you have a clause that says the parties will, in good faith, at the CEO level, negotiate between the two parties and try to reach an agreement. And if, and you give a 30-day, 15 days, whatever, period for that to take place. If that negotiation between the parties does not work out, that then you go to a mediation. And a mediation, let's explain to the audience, mediation is compared to arbitration. The parties choose a neutral facilitator, somebody who is has training in helping the two parties come together. So the second step would be, after negotiation between the parties, they go to mediation. They then choose this neutral mediator to help them facilitate a voluntary negotiation of their problem and a voluntary decision at the end of that solution. They have complete control of that. So, and then a clause like this would say, if that mediation does not result in a agreement between the parties, then it goes to arbitration, binding arbitration. That whole process. But in your process, it goes on at the same time.
Exactly. They call it on a parallel basis.
Wow.
Meaning they could do it at the same time. The thing is, however, that only about 15% of the parties go into mediation. However, those that do, close to 90% come out with an agreement. You see? So it's good for them. The only thing, and I don't mean badmouth lawyers, but many lawyers do not advise their clients to go into mediation because, with such a high degree of success in getting an agreement, they lose the case, they lose the client. I mean, they cannot milk their clients. And I don't want to be derogative, but it's a fact of life.
Economically, it can result in something that may be producing, thousands and thousands of dollars. Mediation can usually, of course, as Reynaldo says, it's 90% is the success rate. 90% is especially in these commercial.
That's great. That's good.
That's great. It's fantastic. And these commercial, especially if they're able to, they're doing this voluntarily. They're not forced into a mediation. They've decided to do it voluntarily, and they choose their facilitator, their mediator. Between them, so they're already, if you're a mediator chosen by two people who want to reach an agreement, and they've chosen you to be the mediator,
let's have the fight.
You have a good possibility, a great probability of reaching a solution to the problem. So we're talking then that there's a second advantage. The first one was this private. The second one is that it's less expensive.
Yes.
And then in your process, you have both the arbitration and the mediation. Sometimes they work together. And you're saying the question I was asking for an arbitration, for example, mediation typically, it can run on, but typically it can be done in one day. Well organized, starting in the 9 o'clock and finishing sometimes at 7 or 8 at night. It depends. You have to let it roll and have it. It has its own timing, but it can be done in one day. An arbitration.
Let me tell you, it takes more than that. There's a claim. There's a reply from the other party. They cannot reach an agreement, so we start a process. The whole process. Takes about 1 year, about 12 months, because it is very much like a court case. There's a discovery process where they argue whether they should or should not give certain documents, and we make a ruling, whether right or wrong. But then the hearings as such, which is like as going to a court case, we are like judges and jury, that usually takes about a week. About 5 days, because both parties bring witnesses. Remember, we have to make an award, and they have all the witnesses they need. Jorge, in my mind, there are two words that are the key words in mediation, which are persuasion. You have to be persuasive to be successful. And second, compromise. Both parties have to compromise.
Right.
In arbitration, in my mind, the key word is fairness. It is in our rules, in our guides. We are told we are not bound by statutory law or precedent. However, we cannot totally depart from the law, whatever that means. I think maybe we can partially depart from the law.
Yeah.
But we have to be guided by fairness, fairness. So the advantage, and this is really personal, for me, arbitration vis-a-vis a court case is that many times it's more fair because we do not take a decision based on a legal technicality. I can see myself being a judge in a court of law, saying, boy, this guy is right. I mean, he did everything right. The other party did everything wrong. Nevertheless, because of this legal technicality.
The law says I have to do this.
I cannot rule for part A, and I must rule for part B, which had all the wrongdoing.
Right, right.
In our case, we go around that. We say, no, this guy is right, and this guy is wrong.
And in this area of arbitration, I don't think our listeners, I think few people are aware that you do not have to give a written decision explaining your conclusion.
No.
You just say A is right, and you have, and it's $75,000.
A dollar amount.
A dollar amount.
We do not have to write it, but we do it amongst ourselves. You know, first to establish who's right and to what extent, and then once we agree on that, we go into the mathematics. I mean, we do, and we keep our notes. It's just that we don't have to publicly write it out. No.
Right. So the second advantage is it tends to be it takes a year, but the discovery is shorter. It's not quite as complicated. It's not as legal, mm-hmm. technical as it would be in the court. And the combination of that would usually, a court case, as the listeners know, can take 5-6.
Sure.
Yeah, one that's moved along pretty well will take 5-6 years.
And the rules of evidence are not applicable to us. You know, I can accept any evidence that maybe in a court case is not acceptable, or the judge won't let it.
Right, right.
But if we feel it's relevant, sometimes we may even accept a witness who was not in the witness list originally, but we very much consider that he was a latecomer, and we will give just the weight he deserves, you know, knowing that we will be just as flexible to the other party, especially in their cross-examination of that witness.
But in terms of the fee that's finally charged, you know what you get paid. I mean, your fees as an arbitrator, but do you know the overall cost of the parties?
No, you really don't,
because it's administrative costs. Of course, they have to pay their attorneys.
I don't have the slightest idea.
Okay.
I can tell you one thing. Just the other day, I had an arbitration, and one of the attorneys came from the States, and he was not the claimant. He was the respondent. So, you know, it was a case against him. And he was counter-suing, so to speak. He's saying, not only are we not any wrongdoing, but I want to counter-sue, and I want to tell you that my fees for coming down here to Puerto Rico are $50,000, and I want the other party to pay that $50,000, which we felt, all three arbitrators felt, that was outrageous.
Right.
But that's what he said.
He
did not get any of that back. I mean, that was his request. We denied it, but... What that's what he said he charges.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back with some of the other advantages of these alternative dispute resolution mechanisms and some of the experiences that we've had in undertaking these alternatives.